You can hear the music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck yeah. The last couple people haven't been able to hear it.
No, that sounds good.
Trying to get lyrics added to it. Still. Right here. Wait. Right. Right. There. The little pause. Fuck, yeah. Let's get the right amp.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro, outro music, you find him everywhere in the socials. He's rocking on YouTube, on TikTok, and Facebook, and Instagram, just fucking over there killing it, you know? Shout out to that guy, man, and, on this week's episode, we have a reoccurring guest, man. I'm really excited to bring back Mr. Brian Andrews. You know, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Like I said, I should have been back sooner, but hey, glad to be here now.
Yeah, man. Still recording in the basement. Different basement, although, you know, it's been a year and a half. I think when you were on last, I was living in Calgary, Alberta. I was living like 3 and a bit hours south of here. I moved north, yeah. Closer to work. I get to be home more with my family now. I was having a hard time getting back and forth at that point in time, you know. And now I'm a lot closer. And I just started a new job. I technically haven't started at the time of recording this, but like by the time it comes out, I started my new job and I'm there and I'll be home even more. I'm actually on a schedule, a 20 and 10 schedule. Fly in, fly out, day rate, fucking guaranteed day shift.
Hell yeah, dude. That's what's up.
Hell yeah, man. My last job, you know, I was there for 7 years, man, you know, and that's a long time in today's world to be at a job, right? And, you know, when you're not growing somewhere, man, no offense to them, you know, it was time. It was time to move on and do my own thing. And so I wasn't happy last winter. Stressed the fuck out of me. I was on night shift like fucking out of the whole winter. I probably spent 95% of it on nights. And I wasn't happy there. Right. And everybody knew that, you know, it was affecting my mood. It was affecting home. It was affecting everything, man. And, you know, I feel like this is a good change for everybody.
Yeah, man, I think that's awesome. I actually bought a new house since the last time we did this, too. So I'm in the new studio. It's kind of a mess right now, or I'd show it to you. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. Get to record all my vocals and stuff here now and, you know, live the dream.
Is it a big studio?
It's just a spare bedroom in my house. And like, well, I ain't got, you know, I have 3 bedrooms in here and only needed like one. So,
you know. Yeah, man, I fucking love your videos still, you know what I mean? You know, you look at you like, hey man, you got a song or I got something, you know, you got a beat for the guy going through this or doing that. And you know, mm-hmm. You're wearing the towel and trying to be a woman or someone else and fucking they're like, yeah, man, yo, play that thing. I mean, you ain't got anything good for it. And then you just drop it, man. And like, you know, that's another thing. The last time you were here, you were like about a month away from dropping Rinse Repeat. That's how long it's been, man. That's how long it's been. Dang, it was like May, and you dropped it in June, Men's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, I remember that now. That song is almost at 1 million streams now on Spotify. So,
just on Spotify.
Cool. Yeah.
What's it at on Apple? Do you check the Apple results?
Check it all that much, but I think it's around 750,000 or something like that. So
you're coming up on 2 million streams, like total, man. That's dude.
Yeah, I think it's actually Spotify? It's right at with like YouTube and all that other stuff. I think it's right at about 2 million.
Wow, good for you, buddy. That's huge, man. You know, the podcast last time you were here, man, Nick, you know, I've got, you know, some pretty big guests. I don't know if you know who, you know, like the guy from Wicked Tuna is, you know, Dave Marciano. I had Dave Marciano on. I've had, it's been one hell of a ride. We had Bentelect. We had OGR Centilla. We've had Ben Harper. We've had Oh shit, Ben Allen Curry. You know who Ben Allen Curry is, man, right? I mean, we've had Daniel Harper is a guy out of Texas. He also works in the oil field, and he sings, you know, and he writes and sings songs and stuff. And that guy was an incredible guest, man. And you know, man, I've poured so much into this since the last time you were on. You know, it's phenomenal that we're here now, you know.
Yeah, dude, man. I think it's great that our paths are crossing again, and I can't wait to see where you go and hopefully where I go. So.
Oh, buddy, where you're going, all right? Like we just talked about it a little bit backstage, and I've noticed, you know, I've seen some things on TikTok and whatnot. You're going out on tour, bro.
Yeah, can't wait. We're gonna play a little mini tour and then hopefully, you know, get some support here and there and just keep the ball rolling, playing live and stuff like that. It's been a long time coming. I don't know. I think we probably should have been on the road already, you know, right when I first started singing and doing stuff with like Liquor and Pills and Home Wrecker and stuff like that. But, you know, better late than never. Better late than never. We just got on with a booking company out of Nashville and starting to get some shows lined up and stuff like that. So can't wait.
I love that. I fucking love that, man. I love that. You know, right now, like you said, a mini tour, right? You're just doing like Missouri right now.
Missouri dates. We're doing 3 dates in Missouri and then we're just gonna see where it goes from there.
Good for you, man. No, that's huge. Like 3 dates, man. A lot of people are like, oh, 3 dates, that's not a lot. But for you, man, like, you know, you're coming up, you're just, you know, you put all this hard work in. 3 dates is a lot, you know, that's big, man.
Oh
Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely, you know, to some people probably ain't that big, but I mean to somebody like me who's used to playing one-off shows here and there, it's a good little chance to get out there and play live and get a chance to, you know, have some back-to-back shows and stuff like that, get an idea of what it's going to be like when we really hit it hard, you know.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. And like, are you planning on dropping any new music on that tour, or are we gonna stick with some of the you know, some of what you already have written and produced and whatnot?
So yeah, we're gonna drop quite a bit of music this coming into 2025. We're probably gonna put out like two more songs or so, two or three before the end of the year, and then 2025, I'm hoping to release like 12 or 13. So
That's
I would do
incredible,
an
man.
album, but I think it's like I don't know. It's one of them things where you in today's world, it's almost like as an up and coming artist, you know. It's almost easier to just do singles, you know, and have a consistent release schedule for Spotify, you know, to get you in the algorithm, and because we're all playing algorithms nowadays, but you know how it is, so.
Yep, sure do.
I
I feel that, man. That's fucking crazy, man. Also,
think
since the
like.
last time we talked, I'm not sure if it might have just happened the last time we talked, and then it happened again. But the Kansas City Chiefs back-to-back Super Bowl champs, baby, right? Like,
Yeah, man. Yep, they just won that second one and working on that three-peat now. So nobody's ever
well,
won
Taylor
three in a
Swift's
row.
in the
So
room. If Taylor Swift's in the room, guarantee it to happen, man. Look at Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce's podcast, dude. Like, you know, they
Oh,
got a
dude.
podcast, and mine's been going a little longer than theirs. I'm not jealous at all. I mean, good for them, man. You know, they work hard on their podcast too, you know, but like they just signed $100 million deal with Wanderley, right? You know, like fuck, you know, it's all them Swifties tuning in every week, you know, like.
Oh yeah, dude. Definitely, like I think the podcast would have been successful to, you know,
Oh yeah.
to a certain level, but like without the Swifties, there would have never been a $100 million deal. It probably would have been, you know, closer to the 50 or something like that range. But dude, I mean, it is a good podcast. I listen to it like all the time. So because I'm a Chiefs
Oh yeah.
fan, you know what I mean? So
Yeah,
but
I
yeah, it's
listen to
pretty
it
cool,
all the
dude.
time too. I listen to it all the time too because my wife's a Swiftie and a Kansas City fan before that, right? She liked the Kansas City Chiefs before because her name is KC, right? So like
Yeah.
KC, right? So she's all about that. But then, you know, being a Swiftie and, you know, Travis Kelce and that whole romance thing, just kind of like the Chiefs are fucking huge in my house now, right? Like
Oh
you know, I
yeah,
can't
dude.
fucking escape that shit.
Yeah, dude. It's like I don't know, man. It's one of them things where like everybody now is like, oh, he's a Chiefs fan, you know what I mean? Like he's bandwagon or whatever. But dude, I grew up in Missouri, so I've been watching Kansas City since I was, you know, in diapers, you know what I mean? So I went through all the bad years, the Brody Croyles, the Matt Castles, you know, freaking Herm Edwards was our head coach for a while. That was atrocious. The Todd Haley days, you know what I mean? So ever since Dick Vermeil left, it's been like a nightmare until Andy Reid got here. So, but not we're, I mean, every diehard Chiefs fan right now is sitting there thinking, like, let them hate us, dude. Who cares? Like, this is awesome.
Let him hate
I
us,
wouldn't
yeah.
trade my fan base for anything, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, and how it's going right now. Cause I mean, if anybody, like, any fan of any NFL team says that they wouldn't be wanting to be sitting where Chiefs fans are right now, they're lying.
Oh, buddy, I'm a diehard Leafs fan, right? And fucking you give me the Penguins and the Capitals, the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. You give me a fraction of the success that they've experienced over the last 20 years with Crosby and Ovechkin. They're coming to the end. I can't believe we're 20 years into Crosby and Ovechkin already, man. Like I feel like I'm dying here tomorrow, right? But like fucking and Crosby just signed a new contract, man. Didn't take a raise. Did got paid the same amount he's been making for the last 20 years. He's just like, nah, man, let me go off and make what I've been making this whole time. You build around me doing that. All right. And that's insane. You give me a fraction of the success that those two teams have had, and I'd be shitting my pants.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. And when it finally happens, it's like, because I mean, teams go through good spells, but we're having a straight dynasty right now. So it's like, I don't know. It's hard to believe that me and my buddies talk about it all the time. Like, it's so crazy that the Chiefs are this good when we're all this young, you know what I mean? And get to like go to bars and like go to the city and stuff because we're only an hour from KC. So we go to a bunch of games every year, you know what I mean? And get to watch it, you know, just unfold in the greatest time of our lives, you know what I mean? So, or
Oh,
party
hey.
time of our lives, I'll say that.
Hey, man. Good for you, man. You know, like I watched my
Yeah.
team in the last year, two years actually make it past the first round of the playoffs for the first time in 20 years. So, you know,
Hey,
like,
there you
hey,
go.
woo! You know, we've lost
Yeah.
what is it, 7 out of 8 playoff series first in the first round, 7 out of 8 first round playoff series, and we made it out of the first round one time. So against a team that had been to the Stanley Cup final 3 or 4 straight years, you know, so they retired, right? They're like,
Correct.
what do we fucking care? You know, we've won the damn
Yeah.
thing twice and been there four straight times, you know. So like we're tired,
Right.
we're out of gas, we're banged up, we don't have any time off, we're losing to you guys. Oh, okay. You know, like fuck
Yeah.
it. You know, like, I don't know, man. One day I hope to be where you are. I know I'm going to be like 80 years old when it happens. And I'm like, you know, my back hurts now, but like, you know, like fucking I got a cane and I can't see out of one eye. And, you know, I got dentures or some shit, probably missing a few fingers. You never know.
Yeah, dude, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy to watch. Like, I remember when we won the first Super Bowl. Not like our first Super Bowl. We won one in the 70s or some shit like that, but 72, I think. But then watching this first one that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid won, it was like, I really think it was an AFC Championship game where we were like, holy shit, you know, like we're going to the fucking Super Bowl. And then winning the Super Bowl was like, did it really just happen? You know what I mean? And now looking back at it now, it's like we were so crazy, thought it was crazy back then, and now it's like if we don't go to the Super Bowl, like what are we doing?
It's
You know?
expected now, right? It's expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, man.
yeah,
So,
it's pretty cool.
since your last time on the show, you know, we've come a long way, and we have a lot more listeners and viewers from all over the world, right? And it's been a pretty cool thing to experience and looking at that heat map, see where everyone's listening from. And I know last time you gave us a little bit of a breakdown on, you know, how you got here, but how did you get here? You know, like, were you always making music? I know you were in the blue collar world for a while. You know, like, what did you do in the blue collar world, and how did you decide, like, hey man, I'm making music now and this is what I'm going to be doing going forward?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, my senior year, my dad, he's a band director at the high school that I went to high school at, and my mom was the choir director there. So that's kind of how I got into music. I was always a band kid or whatever, and we played sports. It's a small town, so everybody did everything basically. But started playing guitar my senior year because I just needed a filler class because, you know, it's senior year, so it's like everybody's trying to mess around and not do anything. So I was like, oh, I'll take this guitar class. It was with my dad, so I was like, you know, we're not going to do nothing. And it'd be cool to learn how to play guitar. So we did that, and that's how I learned how to play. And I still, to this day, ain't very good at it, but I'm good enough to just write and, you know, play chords and stuff like that. And then I went to college for a little bit for music, and it just, I don't know, I was doing a lot of drugs and stuff I shouldn't have been doing. Ended up dropping out, and then I started looking at all my buddies, you know, because they were like, my best friends were making $2,000-$3,000 a week working on the road welding. And I was like, damn, you know, they went to welding school and shit, and now they're out there doing all this, and I'm paying money to go to school. You know, I pretty much hate it. I'm skipping class all the time. Don't want to be here. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'm going to go to welding school. I had never struck an arc. Man, I'll tell you what, when I showed up my first job, I didn't even know what a crescent wrench was. So I had worked around the farm and stuff growing up, but it ain't, but you know, like I wasn't no blue collar dude when I went to welding school, and then, you know, got out of there and started working what they were doing, you know, working on the road, passed a couple weld tests. Thank God, it took me a while to pass one, but once I finally did, it was, you know, pretty downhill from there. I mean, on my first job, there's a lot you got to learn, I think, you know, like I said, you got to learn how to be a hand, you know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of kids go into it with you know, they're all bright eyed and kind of cocky a little bit, especially straight out of school, because they're like, oh yeah, dude, I just spent 4.5 months learning how to weld, you know, like, I'm the best welder on the job, and you ain't shit, you know what I mean? So you show up and you're kind of like, oh shit, you know, first time you get thrown in a rack or doing a position weld or something like that, it's a big, big eye opener, you know. But I started writing when I was in college because I was doing a whole lot of drugs and stuff like that, but it was kind of like my way to just kind of get out of my own head and kind of write about some of that stuff and you know, not have to just talk somebody's ear off about it and stuff like that, especially when I got sober. And then, you know, when I was working on the road, I started seeing how much, like, being on the road could affect people and stuff like that, and kind of started writing songs about that. And that's really how I got my start. You know, I started posting to Facebook and stuff like that of songs that I had written. And I mean, they just started going really well. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to download TikTok or whatever, because all my buddies had it. And I think that was in 2019. I was still working on the road. And I was working, I think, in Sedalia, Missouri at the time, building a Nucor steel plant. And we were out there, and it was close enough to home. We were driving home every day, but I was like, dude, this sucks. You know, I'm tired of being home and not ever being able to be home, because we were working 7-12s. And I was like, I might as well just go back on the road for this. You know what I'm saying? So downloaded TikTok, and I started seeing other people post their music and stuff like that on there. And I had a little bit of, not really any, but a little bit of success on YouTube and Facebook and stuff. So I just started posting on TikTok and everything. Ended up with like 80,000 followers in December of 2020. And I was like, I'm going to put out my first song. It was Liquor and Pills, because it had a video of it when I first wrote it, do pretty well. And got with some guys that do some production for me still, even to this day, here in Missouri or whatever, and got that song cut. And then it was my debut single. For like the first week, though, it had like 9,000 streams. I kind of thought it was a bust, you know what I mean? But then I made that one TikTok with my mom of it getting played on the radio in my hometown. And it just got, you know, crazy. It was like 15 million views or something like that. Went number 6 on the iTunes country chart. And then I quit my job right then and there, and haven't worked a day since. Been doing music. Well, I mean, haven't worked on the road a day since.
Yeah.
But you know, that's pretty much how it went. And now it's just been grinding, because, I mean, the shit never stops. So, because I'm always, which I'm not, you know, like, if I ever had to go back to work, that wouldn't be that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I miss welding every day. I just don't miss working for people. So, yeah. Welding was never the issue. I had a true passion for welding. And I think most guys that go to welding school or, like, guys that end up working in the field for a while, they end up growing a passion for it if they didn't have it already. Because, I mean, it's just so therapeutic. And there's something about being, you know, being a welder on a job site, you know, the way you carry yourself and stuff like that. And also just trying to be better. You're always competing with yourself or other people. You know what I mean? Like, you're always trying to make every bead better than the last one. So that's what I loved about welding. And I think that's why it poured over into my music so well, you know, because it was real, you know, it was true passion for the stuff that I was going through at the time. And I learned how to really harness emotion into music and stuff like that through working on the road, and I'll forever be grateful for it. So.
Fuck yeah, man. No, that's cool. You got to where, you know, the rest of us, you know, that are, you know, dabbling in other things or trying to get to, right? I've talked to so many blue collar creators on this podcast over the last year and a half that some of them have been able to, you know, with what they've built on the internet, been able to walk away and be home every night. They're home every day. You know, they're spending more time with their kids now. Some of them have had to go back, you know, because, you know, mm-hmm. it's not a forever thing if you don't, you know, take care of it, if you don't maintain, right? But, like, you know, a lot of them, they're still grinding. They're still kicking it, right? And that's pretty huge, man. And that's, you know, eventually, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I'm in this space here eventually trying to get to that next step so maybe mm-hmm. I can be like that as well, right? And I think I'm on the doorstep, you know what I mean? And I think I'm on the doorstep anyway. I'm there. I'm inviting the opportunity anyway.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. I think that, you know, like sometimes this stuff starts as a hobby, you know. I think for me, it was like, it didn't really get real until I said, you know, like I said, I made that one video, it got like 600,000 or 700,000 views. And then I was like, you know what, if I could get to like, I remember always saying that I was like, if I could get to 10,000 followers, then I would think I could do this, you know. And then when I got there, I was like, you know what? I bet, you know, if I could get to 25, I would really believe in it. And then I was like, well, if I could get to 100, I'll really, really believe that I can do this. You know what I mean? And as soon as I hit 100,000 followers, I quit my job. And now I'm sitting here at 2.1 million. So,
dude, that's incredible. Even the last time you were on this podcast, you hadn't broke a million yet, man. You were at a couple hundred thousand, I think, maybe. What are you adding on Instagram there now?
It's only like 45,000, something like that. That's probably one of the harder apps for me to grow on. I think like it's for exposure, like on Reels and stuff, I'm really getting good results with like Reels and stuff now. But for me, it was just the hardest thing ever because I would repost TikToks to it or whatever that I thought were good. Yep. And it's also kind of a struggle for me because like a lot of my videos are over a minute and a half. So it's hard for me to translate most of my like really viral TikToks over because they're over a minute and a half long or whatever, and Reels are only a minute and 30 seconds. But no, lately they've been getting like, you know, I've had two videos out of the last five that hit over a million, and one of them hit over 2 million. So I was like, dang, you know, I'm gonna start posting Reels more often.
Yeah, I had a video this past winter hit 12.6 million on Reels.
Yeah, dude. See, that's what I'm saying. Like the exposure there right now is how TikTok used to be. You remember?
Yeah, I remember. I talk about that all the time, man. Like TikTok now, though. Remember back in the day, where like if it was gonna go viral, it was gonna go viral within the first 24 hours, right? Now it could go viral like months down the line, right? Like you walk away, that video shits the bed, and then like, oh fuck, that was a flop. Whatever, on to the next. A couple months later, you come back. Oh fuck, that. Why am I getting all these notifications? You go down, mm-hmm. you look, I'm like, that video is at like a million now? What the fuck? It couldn't even pop 1,000 at the first, you know, little bit, right? And yeah, man, TikTok is TikTok's kind of gone a little weird, I think, you know. It kind of gives you hope a little bit in a way where it's like, hey, man, you know, like, here's here's a few hundred thousand views for you right now. And then the next 10 videos just shit the bed, right? And it's like, oh, okay, whatever. But, man, I also took the foot off the gas a little bit when it came to that as well, right? This past summer, I stopped posting so much, right? I took a little step back. I focused more on the podcast. I focused on more on being a human again. And, you know, I had to get off of it, man. And, you know, my views suffered for it. But, like, I benefited from it as a person, right? So
yeah, dude, it's funny you mentioned that. Like I don't even remember when it really started happening, but it was probably 6 or 7 months ago. I started feeling really like, damn, is this shit even worth it anymore? You know, I was just super burnt out and shit, especially with posting. So I was like, dude, I'm just gonna reel it back. I'm gonna post content that I want to post, like if I think it's funny or whatever. But I'm not gonna post just to post anymore. So I went through a couple months where I only made like 3 or 4 videos or something like that, and then I had a couple bad months where I didn't really post at all. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna walk away for a little bit. And then I started posting a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And now I'm kind of back into the content game because it's just been going well. I mean, and just like you said, it's different than it was. Like you used to think that, like, or not think, you'd know, like if a video was going to do really well back in the day, like 2020, 2021, something like that. If a video was going to do well, it hit a million within the first like 12, 13 hours, something like that.
Yep.
But now it's like, I mean, that the Katy Perry video I just posted, it's got like, or when I posted it, I was like, this is going to go viral. I know it has to, because I know what content works on here. And I'm telling you, this video is going to go well. And then it did like 30K in the first like 18 hours. And I was like, dude, what happened? And now it's at 7.6 million. So I was like, I was right, but it just took a while. And I was like, dude, I don't know. It's just weird how it works now.
Yeah. Oh man. It's what was that one I did? It was fucking, I think it was my most recent one. Hold on. It was the recent one I did on TikTok here. Shit. It did well. I think it has like a couple million on it right here. Couple videos down here. Yeah. So I posted this video on there and it has 1.2 million views on it. But for the first week, it sat at like 1,200 views.
Yeah, right? Bro, that's what I'm talking about. It's crazy, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, it still works and everything. But like for me, it's also like the content that I used to post where it was like, which I'd still like to post some of that stuff, but where I was like, just kind of singing in front of a camera of a song that I had just written or something like that, or, you know, like just kind of hanging out or showing people what I was doing that day. I've started like transitioning that kind of content just into lives and stuff like that, because I mean, I don't know. It kind of like, it gets to where you're like posting a video just to post, you know what I mean? And for me, it's just, it ain't worth it to do that. So I'm just like, cause I mean, I just posted a video because of a song that I had just written today. And I was like, I like the song. I know it's not going to get any views or whatever, but I want to post it. So I did. And it's got like 3,000 or something like that right now. But which is fine, dude. I mean, people get wrapped up into it a little too hard. And I think that's where, like, taking that little break and mental hiatus and stuff from it and just hanging out with my buddies this summer, you know what I mean? And, like, playing golf and going hunting and doing the stuff that I wanted to do, getting my hat company going and stuff like that. That's where I was like, all right, you know what I mean? I can take a step back and I feel okay about it and get back to writing good songs. You know what I mean? I feel like I was just in a dead spot with writing, but I've been writing more in the last 2 weeks than I've written in the whole last 3 months. You know what I mean? So
good for you, buddy. Oh, so you say you got a hat company going?
Yeah, like these hats right here, me and my dad started. Oh, wait, hold on. There it is. It's called Going Ghost Outdoors.
Going Ghost. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, me and my dad, right. We haven't officially launched on TikTok or anything yet because I'm trying to get to where if anybody in my hometown wants a hat or whatever, they can get them first. But, yep, I'm pretty excited about it. Dad's about to retire, so he wanted something to do, you know, when he gets out of retirement and stuff like that. So we're trying to really get this off the ground. And once we get into whitetail hunting season and stuff like that, then it'll be a little bit easier to market it and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. I'm pumped about it. I think it's awesome. I can't wait. I love the way the hats look and everything. So,
yeah, dude. I had my own merch. I have my own merch line, but I still push it as much anymore, right? Like, yeah. I find it's better if I just, you know, push troll stuff and Alberta mm-hmm. Strong and you know, other stuff that I have going on, right? Like, it's just, I don't have to do any of the work afterwards, right? And right, we've been really right. busy the last like year or so. So like it's you know what, I just wear it. People ask where they can find it. I throw it out there. I'm like, here it is. And someone else makes it and it's someone else's gear. And I don't get as much of the money, but like I'm not doing as much of the work either, right? So like it's you know, it's whatever, it is what it is.
Yep, ain't gotta worry about, you know, shipping anything or anything like that. So
that's a big thing. The last time you were here, you played Rinse Repeat for us, right? Are you able to play Liquor and Pills, or you have any of that set up or what?
I don't even have my guitar here, dude. It's at the studio. I was just over at my brother's house recording.
That's all right, man. Fuck, dude, I love your tunes, man. I have all your songs on my main playlist that I listen to all the time, right? And Rinse Repeat, man, when it dropped, oh dude, I fucking played the shit out of that song.
Yeah, dude, I mean, it still to this day I promote it like it's not even out yet, because it's just, I don't know, I think the weight that song holds could be like just massive, dude. I still think the reach that it has left in it is not even close to being where it's gonna go. You know what I mean? Like, I still think that song is gonna end up being one of my biggest songs. So,
oh, dude, look at all the biggest songs from all the creators on TikTok, right? What? Look at Dax, How to Be a Man, or To Be a Man. Mm-hmm. It blew the fuck up, right? You got your song, you know, Rinse Repeat. It blew up. All the songs about men's mental health, man, we're finally at a point where it's cool to talk about, right? And man, it's you know, we still got a long way to go, but like, you know, we're at a point now where we're ripping that bulletproof vest off, right? And we're just like, hey, you know, like I've been through this, I'm going through this. And I think one of the most powerful parts of my podcast I've had is still your episode that you were on the first time, where, you know, I played it as a clip. It was a teaser trailer, and you said, sometimes you don't want to wake up, sometimes you go to bed and you just don't want to wake up, and but you can't say that, right? Because, you know, you'll be a bummer to your friend group. But now we're getting to the point where it's like, hey man, you know what, like, fuck it, you know, I didn't want to wake up today. You know what? And it's okay to feel that way, man. But as long as you're going out and seeking that help, you're having people, you're surrounding yourself with the right people that are willing to listen and be along for that journey with you, you know?
Oh, for sure, man. You know, like, I think it's all about finding the right group of friends. You know what I mean? Dude, I still hang out with my high school buddies and shit like that. So it's pretty easy for me, you know, and I take it for granted sometimes too, because there'll be times where I'm like, oh, you know, I don't really need to talk about nothing or, you know, something like that. But everybody goes through shit. Everybody goes through heartbreak and stuff like that. And there's a lot of times where, you know, like I'll be fucked up over a girl or some shit like that, and I'll call my buddies, be like, hey, you want to come to the house for a while, you know, and we'll just sit there and talk for a while, drink a couple beers, something like that. But, and it's never a thing like it used to be, you know what I mean? Like, it's never like, it's never a cringe moment, I guess. You know what I mean? Like it used to feel like, you know, and nowadays it's just part of what we do, you know, like we're always talking to each other about stuff. So.
Absolutely, man. Have you ever done the therapy at all? I don't think I asked you that last time.
Yeah.
So this is, this is pretty crazy, man. This is the point where the podcast where I'm at now, right? Is that officially by the time this episode comes out, it'll be official, but right now it's not official yet. The podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp now, right? And you know, sweet, it's a blue collar podcast, man. We talk to so many blue collar people, and you know, what's one thing we all have in common, right? We work a lot. We're missing everything we love because we're out there doing it for those that we love, right? And you know, a lot of us are suffering, you know, with that fact that, you know, we do it for them and we never get to see them, right? And, you know, that's a choice. It is a choice. But, like, is it one that was kind of like, you know, it was, hey, you, this is the choice you're going to have to make, or you're going to have to, like, you know, struggle, right? So, you know, I'm pumped, man. The podcast is unofficially right at this moment, but officially when it comes out is sponsored by BetterHelp, man, you know, and I'm excited because my listeners, my followers, and everyone that listens to this podcast now, you know, there will be a discount code, and I'll throw it up on the screen eventually, you know, when then that time comes, but there's going to be a discount code for, you know, a certain percentage, probably 10% off therapy sessions for when you need them, right? And I think that's huge, man. I'm definitely gonna partake. I've never done therapy before, so.
Yeah, it's kind of a. I mean, it's for some people, and it ain't for others. You know what I mean? Like, I think for me, it's just like when I started feeling, because I know what it feels like right before I'm about to do some pills, or like, you know, just kind of go off the deep end a little bit mentally and stuff like that. So as soon as I start getting that feeling creeping up, I'm like, okay, I gotta talk to somebody, like a professional, you know, like that's one. Yeah. It's just being self-aware enough to know that, like, there's people out there who have years of education in what you're suffering with, you know what I mean? And that can actually help you in effective ways and learn, you know, teach you how to deal with that stuff effectively and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I ain't ashamed of it no more. Like, I don't go, like, often or whatever, because, I mean, I get to live a life that, you know, not many people do, but, and I'm extremely grateful for it, but there's bad days in this business too, let me tell you. I mean, there's a lot of days where I thought I'd be a lot happier welding pipes still, you know what I mean? So, but you just gotta keep grinding, you know what I mean? And really, really reach out to these people that can help, you know, whether it be your friends or your family or professional help, you know what I mean? And they'll get you right back on the right track. So,
fuck yeah, man. I've gotten so many messages, and a lot of people gave me feedback on your episode too, right? Especially when you said, hey, sometimes you don't want to wake up. And a lot of people are like, it's good to listen to a podcast with blue collar men who were trying to end that stigma, right? Who you know, we're talking about it. We're bringing it to the forefront. And, you know, the podcast has sort of evolved a few times over the course of the last almost 2 years now. Right. Where it's like, you know, I never viewed it as this, but, like, you know, I'm giving a voice to my people, essentially. Right. Like, you're my people. I'm your people. Right. And everyone else. And, you know, if I could give back to my community in any kind of way, it's fucking BetterHelp. You know what I mean? It's getting a discount code to go and get yourself some help, you know, if you need it. Fucking it's here, man. And I've been grinding for this. I've reached out to them a couple times. They finally got back to me. The guy said, man, I listened to a couple episodes and I really enjoyed what I heard. He's like, yeah, man, let's do this. Right. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit that I'm here for. That's what I'm grinding it out for. Right. And I'm so glad that I'm able to give back to my community now, in that way.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I think that's the biggest thing that is, like, overlooked is that blue collar guys, like, a lot of people will say, like, oh, we chose this life or whatever, and I said this on the last episode too, but, you know, it's like being from a town where I'm from, there ain't nobody that pays $36 an hour to go, you know, weld pipe or anything like that, and there ain't no call for it. So all these jobs are on the road, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that they always say, you know, oh, you could work closer to home and stuff like that, but it's like, you can't if you got bills, you know what I mean? And everybody can see that nowadays. I mean, everything's expensive. So I want every one of us wants our families to have better things than we had growing up, and we're willing to make the sacrifice for it. But that doesn't mean it ain't hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I see what daddy went through, and I had no idea what the guy was going through back then. And life was a lot cheaper for him, right? Like, you know, growing up, I looked this morning, actually. I was talking to the wife this morning about it. The house I lived in growing up, we rented it, right? My dad, I was there when the landlord, I was just a young lad, right? And the landlord told him, hey, he's like, buy my house, 40 grand right now, it's yours, right? And my dad's like, whoa, you know, like, fuck, that's cheap. 40 grand, that was in like the early to mid 90s. That house now, we look today, is $400,000.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. That's insane, dude. I mean, that's half the reason I didn't move to Nashville, dude. I was really, when I was thinking about looking at places and stuff like that, I was like, if I'm going to move, this is the time to do it. You know what I mean? And, you know, kind of looked around down there, and then I looked around up here, and I was like, I can buy twice the size of the house here as I can there for $150,000 less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's what I did. And now I get to live in my hometown with all my buddies and watch them grow up and them have families and watch their kids grow up, you know, and stuff. And hopefully, you know, like I said, start a family of my own one day. And if I got to go back to work, then that's something I got to deal with. But I mean, there ain't no reason to, for all any artists that might be, or anybody who might want to be an artist who's listening to this, there ain't no reason to move to these big cities anymore. I mean, I'm telling you, you can drive there and or fly there, you know, and spend a week there if you have to or whatever. You know, there's only a couple things that stipulate you actually have to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like physically be there. But most of the time you can make it work wherever you're at.
My hometown is the third most expensive city in North America to live in. LA is less expensive to live in than my hometown.
Yeah, that's insane, dude. Where are you from?
I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. I'm out near Toronto. So it goes Vancouver, Toronto, Hamilton. LA is right below it, right? And the city I live in is one of the most affordable cities to live in North America. So, like, you know, I live in Edmonton, Alberta, right? And, man, it's, you know, you can definitely find decent houses. Like, I can buy this house right now for 300 grand, right? Like, it's a nice house, beautiful, beautiful backyard. Or I could move to the province over, which I don't know if you know provinces, but it's like a state, right? Like, I could move Saskatchewan, southern Saskatchewan. I could buy a house on like an acreage, and I'm talking about a couple acres. I'm talking like a decent amount of acres, and pay 300 grand.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's way more bang for your buck, you know. So I don't know. I feel the same way, dude. It's like I don't know. I don't know that I could live where you live. It seems like it'd get cold up there. I can tell you that.
It's starting to right now, man. Today was actually unseasonably warm. The next week is going to be unseasonably warm. It was like 27 degrees Celsius, which is like pushing like 80 or 90 there. For September, that's pretty hot. You know, so yeah, the leaves are all over the ground. The cold weather is coming. I'd say in about 3 weeks, we'll have some snow on the ground here, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Here today, or this whole week, it's supposed to be like 65, 75 degrees, something like that.
Yeah, so it was hotter here than it was there. Yeah, man, yeah, I'm outside this morning in a sweater and my jeans. I'm like, I need to take this shit off, man. You know, like I don't check the weather when I'm on days off, right? I don't care about that shit. I took my daughter to school and it was like, fuck, this is a warm ass day, you know, like
dude. How cold does it get up there? Like -30?
I've worked in, the coldest I've ever worked in is -57.
Holy shit.
Yeah, last winter it was colder than that. Here in Edmonton, it got down to like -62 with the wind or something like that. I was working though. But I made a couple videos about how cold it was last winter, man. -50 for like fucking 2.5 weeks or a week and a half there last winter. In January, it got real cold. Global warming though, am I right?
Dude, holy shit, that is cold, man. I remember working on the road, and it was like, I was in Iowa one winter, and it was like -20 for like a week in a row. They sent us home for the whole week.
Yeah. Well, so I think that -40 Fahrenheit and Celsius meet up. So, like, it's -40 degrees Fahrenheit, -40 Celsius, are the same thing. And then they, like, fuck off again, right? So, yeah. They actually meet up at -40.
That's funny. Hey, fuck off.
It's not a fun time, that's for sure. You know, working outside. I worked with an old boy last winter. The guy's in his 70s. And we're all working outside, but we're all going in and warming up every now and then, you know, staying warm. And a week later, so this guy's, after the cold snap had happened, he's like, man, my feet hurt. And it's like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah. And all casually, he's just like, yeah, man, the doctor says I might have to get a couple of my toes amputated and maybe one of my fingers. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, during that cold snap, I just kept going. I'm like, man, all casually, dude, you know, like, no panic to him at all. He's like, oh, yeah, I got to lose a couple of toes, man. And like, you sacrifice your toes. You're 70. You're a fucking boomer is what you are, right? Like, only boomers sacrifice that hard, you know? Like,
oh, dude, that is fucking funny shit, though.
There's no way I would
sacrifice toes,
four fingers for a fucking job. You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's minus 40 outside. I'm going inside. You know, like, I'm gonna go warm up every now and then. Not like, let me finish this task before I go warm up. But let me get to the point where I can't, like, physically move my fingers anymore, and then I'll go inside. And it's like,
yeah, dude. Fuck, we're way softer than that around here. I can tell you that. On that same job, I remember it got to like negative 10 for like 2 weeks or whatever, and we were still working or whatever. But my crew was like the only outside crew, but we would go in probably every 15, 20 minutes, you know, like, because I mean, it just got cold. And when you're wearing them steel toes, dude, once your toes get cold, you're cold. Like, there ain't nothing you can do about it.
I wear steel-toed rubbers all year round, right? Work on the back truck. I get wet. Another thing, when it's minus 40, minus 50, I'm on a back truck. So I'm spraying water and steam and shit like that. I'm getting even colder than what it is outside, right? Like, that's why my name is Dick Frost, man. You know, like, fuck.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, that is fucking cold. Like, there's a lot of things that I liked about the road, but working in the cold wasn't fucking one of them. I fucking hated it, dude. I would rather work in 9,500 degree temperatures than for like 3 months than work in negative 20.
Well, I can tell you one thing. When I'm older, I'm retiring somewhere where I never have to check the weather network and where, like, you know, I don't have to fucking worry if I'm growing icicles in my mustache anymore, you know? I know being up here, these are some of the most, you know, rugged conditions on the planet in the middle of winter when it gets bad, right? And I can look back on these days fondly when I do retire and I can be like, man, I fucking conquered that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I owned that shit. I made it through, you know, and I can look on that, but I can look back on that with some pride, you know? So.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I was like, I don't know. I quit my job to do music full time in the winter. And I was like, man, I got some money saved up. Like, I ain't going back till at least spring, and then never had to go back. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. I don't remember, man. The last time we were on, did I ask you what viscosity was?
I don't remember that.
Do you know what viscosity is?
Viscosity?
Yeah.
No, I ain't never heard of that.
It's like a solid's resistance to flow, right? Or a fluid's resistance to flow, right? So when they're drilling, right? You know, they gotta determine, you know, the viscosity of the fluid going downhole, right? They pack more mud into it. They gotta take some out. They gotta strip some out of it, you know. And you know, so where I'm going with this is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman. You know, last time I talked to you, I had a headset and a mic. I might have actually talked to you about it, right? Because the mic and headset were a part. Yeah, it was just the first couple episodes. You were part of the first couple episodes I started using it with. And I had a headset and a mic. I still do. Don't know where one of the cords are, but it doesn't matter anymore. The Mudman, he supplied the headset and the mic. And now I record on this new MacBook Pro, which the Mudman supplied, right? I no longer have to record on the phone. I record on the laptop now, right? And it's all thanks to the Mudman, you know, www.mudmanmarket.com, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, the Mudman's got your back. I fucking love that guy. Love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Awesome, dude. Yeah, man. I fucking love that. Sometimes it goes like, how thick is your load, right? Like, hey, you know, like, how thick is your load, right? And and that conversation goes to some pretty fucking wild places sometimes.
Yeah, dude. No, I use MacBook Pro too, dude. I bought this thing a couple years ago, and I use it pretty much everything.
Do you have a case on it or like anything like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta get a case still. I've been raw dogging this shit and like it fucking gives me anxiety. Yeah, man. It's a $2,000 computer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I ain't walking. This thing don't leave the desk without a case on it.
Let's jump into this one. I'm excited about this one, right? I just said fucking raw dogging. I've been raw dogging it. Man, the podcast is also sponsored by Steady Freddy, and they deal in men's sexual health, you know? So like talking about raw dogging and shit, dude. This is Steady Freddy, man. They have this thing called delay spray, you know? And, you know, do you suffer from premature ejaculation, Brian?
I don't think so.
Being a man on the road that works away, when I come home after a long month, dude, like sometimes the wind blows and I just pop, right? Like I don't even get a chance to even, right? And like, you know, so fucking, I suffer from fucking premature ejaculation 100% sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes a long time and sometimes it don't take very long at all, right? So like fucking Steady Freddy has this shit called delay spray, right? And if you have the chance 10 minutes before you're about to raw dog it, right, you spray it, right? You spray it and, you know, it enhances your sexual libido and if you're looking to enhance or improve your sexual experience and intimacy, and or you're looking to enhance that stamina, boy, you know, like you don't want to pop off in 10 seconds flat, dude, you spray a little bit of shit on that and away you go, right? And apparently I'm getting some, right? Mine's coming. It's coming, all right, you know, like, fucking, dude. They're trying to take the you know, societal, you know, how society views, you know, premature ejaculation and men's sexual health as taboo or we shouldn't talk about this. They're trying to make it normal, right? As it should be.
Yeah,
this shit, you know, it happens to 1 in 3 men, I believe it was. 1 in 3 men suffer from premature ejaculation, dude. You know, and the other one is lying about it.
Yeah, probably like I just did.
Yeah, there you go, bro.
Oh, that shit's fucking funny, bro. What was that again?
Oh, man. Steady Freddy. www.steadyfreddy.com and you use code DEFROST10 to save yourself 10% off on your dick spray, you know?
Dude,
that's what I'm saying, man, where the podcast is going, man. You know what I mean? Like, we're having a lot of fun here. Like, these companies are, like, seeing what we're doing here, what we're trying to accomplish. They see the name. Yo, this guy's name is Dick. Yo, we got some shit for that, right? And, like, hey, man, I'm all about it. You know, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah.
And they even got this other shit, too, called Ball Boost, right? Like, you know, and I said this last time. You know, sometimes your engine on your truck needs a boost, right? Well, sometimes your balls are the engine that needs the boost. You know, like it's supplement. two pills you take, two supplements you pop in your mouth, and dude, it just fucking it helps you go and it helps increases you. You looking to have kids, Brian? Take some Ball Boost.
Hell yeah, dude! Hell yeah.
No, man, it's a good time, brother. It's a good time. We're having a lot of fun on here, right? And you know, it's not just it's all the hard work I put in the almost last 2 years here. You know, it's paying off. You know, hell yeah,
for sure,
man,
for sure,
fuck yeah.
I think it's fucking.
You
awesome,
need to start
man.
A podcast.
I think it's going great. Oh fuck, dude! I wish I had time for all that. Honestly, I probably do have time for it, but I just don't want to.
You don't want to have a premature ejaculation conversation on the internet. Yeah. That's what it is.
No, bro. I'm just like, damn, dude, do I really fucking want to take on one more thing? And, dude, honestly, if I got to where, like, the music was doing its, you know, which it would never do itself, but, you know, like, kind of taking care of itself or whatever, and then the hat company got to going, I wouldn't mind doing a podcast for, like, blue-collar musicians. You know what I mean? That would be
cool. There's a lot of them out there, man. You know, Brian Martin, man, you know? I'm trying to get Brian Martin on. I've talked to Brian Martin's agent a couple times, and we're trying to swing that, man. Brian Martin, that'd be a fucking pretty good guest to have on, and for you, even.
Yeah, that'd be huge. I'd love to cut a song with him someday. I think we got a couple blue collar songs coming out here soon that we might try to finagle something there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you said you got some coming up. Like, what are you gonna call these songs? Do we get a name drop, or we can't hear them? But do we at least get a name?
I'll give you one. It's called White Lines.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. All right. Sounds good. I think I can smell that coming from over here.
All right, cool. Nice, man. Yeah, nice. It's when's like. it's a play on, like, you know, like, this, I mean, obviously, you know, doing coke and shit, my background, like, doing pills and stuff like that, and then how it relates to, like, working on the road and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a little clever thing, and I think it's a lot of something that blue collar guys struggle with a lot. You know, I know I wasn't the only guy out there doing some pills and stuff like that just to numb some pain, and I definitely ain't the only motherfucker that was out there drinking. You know, I worked with a lot of guys that were really, really heavy into it. So, and I mean, it's all because, like, dude, I would work with some guys that were one of my best friends. He worked on the road with me, and we lived together for a long time. And he would go, you know, 2 months on a job where we were 10 hours away from home, and that dude would be fine. But then that third month hits, and he's like, dang, dude, I miss my kids. I miss my wife and stuff like that. And then he really started drinking, you know, and it's never a good thing to see.
No, you can see the spiral happening, right? And, like, that's tough, man. I've worked with a few guys like that, you know, like, you know, they got their head on the shoulders, like, hey, no more drinking, no more of that other stuff. You know, I'm here, I'm clean, you know, and then, like, you're like 5-6 weeks into it and they're just like, hey, man, drop me off over here. I need some stuff, right? And it's like, man, I'm not gonna name or drop a name or anything like that. But I worked with a guy, and he was really hard into all that stuff. And he got sober and got his. He was working towards getting his kid back, right? And working really hard. And his dad had been through the prison system and had died in addict's life, right? And he was going down that same road and he got clean for his kid. And I was like, fuck yeah, man, that's awesome. What a story. And then he had an argument one night with his ex baby mama. And he was in the back seat of the truck, and I had just dropped a couple other people off. And he's like, hey, man, drop me off over here. He's like, I need to go see a friend. And I heard the conversation on the phone, and I don't do any of that stuff, but I knew the person that he wanted to go see, right? He has a reputation, right? So I'm like, yeah, man, I'm not doing that, brother. And he's like, dude, drop me off right now. And I'm like, no, man, dude, you don't want that. You don't want to go down that road, bro. And he's like, I do. And he started getting a little violent in the backseat. He's like, fucking drop me off now or I'll punch you in the head, you know? And I'm like, I'm not dropping you off at his house, but I'll drop you off, you know, a decent distance away from his house, right? So I dropped him off at the Circle K. And I'm like, call me if you need a ride. I'm only 5 minutes up the road, and I'll come back and I'll get you, right? And the next morning I seen him, and I'm like, you got back? Like, you got back okay? Obviously, I had to get back. He's like, oh, I walked back. I'm like, well, he's like, yeah, I didn't go through with it, you know, like, I couldn't do that, not to my daughter, right? And I'm like, that must have been hard for him, you know, like, that.
Yeah,
he was fighting a demon that night, right? And you know, that was hard. And he thanked me. He's like, thank you for, you know, putting up with the, you know, the harassment or, like, the bullying or the threats or whatever. And it's like, thanks for even, you know, pushing back on it a little bit. And I'm like, hey, man, I got you, you know, like, you know, it's amazing in blue collar how fucking strangers become family, right? and oh, that yeah, guy, dude. Man, I mean, fucking love that guy.
Yeah, you got to be your brother's keeper out there. I mean, I got guys that I was real damn close with on the road or whatever. We ain't spoken probably 6 months or so like that. But, I mean, I can guarantee I can call them up right now and they'd meet me somewhere if I really needed it. So.
Yeah, man. The camaraderie, right? It's the brotherhood, you know?
Yep.
We're all sharing a drink we call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone, right? And,
yeah.
I might not like you very much, but you're going through the same shit I'm going through, and I can relate to you. So we bond over that.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Then I don't want to keep you too much later there. You know, it's getting late on your end. And, yeah. You know, so I don't want to keep you too much later. We've talked all about the fucking premature ejaculation and raw yeah. dogging and for... You know, yeah, dude, thanks for coming on again, man. You know, like it's another yeah. one, you know, and I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm pumped that you're here, man. And you came on and fuck, I love that. We've only had a couple reoccurring guests in 93, 94 episodes now, man. We're 6 weeks away from episode 100. I'm trying my hardest to get Mike Rowe on as my 100th guest.
Oh, that would be fucking awesome, dude.
That would be fucking phenomenal, man. Mike Rowe, dude. Like, I tag him every chance I get. Every time I can talk about him, I bring him out. So, yeah, we're November 20th, I believe it is. Episode 100 is set to drop, and I'm excited for it, man. If we don't get Mike Rowe. If we get Mike, fucking yeah. awesome. If we don't, I don't know how I'm going about it yet. I don't know who I'm having on. I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe do a live stream of a podcast. I don't know yet. Yeah. I haven't decided, man. But like, it's episode 100. It's gonna be special, anyways.
Yeah, it'd be badass, dude. I mean, thanks for having me on again for sure. And you know, anytime you want to run this back, I'm always willing to come on.
Fuck yeah, man! I love hearing that. And you know what, dude? Like, fucking, I will have you back, man. Like, you're one of those guys, man. We shoot the shit. We could the conversation just flows. You know what I mean? And I love your music, and I love what you're doing, and the whole TikTok thing. I love the story you tell to put your music out there. You know, like yeah. that's the best part about it, man. You know, it's one of my favorite things. When I go through the FYP and a Brian Andrews video pops up, I'm like, fuck yeah! There's a story and a song coming with it.
yeah, man, I need to get back into storytelling too. That was some of my favorite kind of content to make, and you know, I just haven't done it in a while. So for whatever reason, it seemed like it didn't really click on TikTok there for a little bit, but I think it's starting to come back around. So
yeah, man, and if it doesn't click with certain people, it clicks with others, right? And it clicks with you.
No, more yeah.
importantly, you know what I mean? So, you know, yeah. fuck the views, dude. Fuck the views. The views will come, right? But like,
yeah.
If you feel good making the story, you make that fucking story.
Yeah, for sure, man. But nah, thanks yeah, for having me back on, dude. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. I got one more question before we wrap it up, dude. And, you know, I think yeah. I asked you last time. I don't know. Maybe the answer's changed a little bit. Maybe it hasn't. But, you know, Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the Rock, right? And, you know, if you had your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to, inspire to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
Number one for sure is my dad. I don't know. I mean, he's been my best friend my whole life. That dude, I mean, when I was growing up, he never really acted like a friend. He was there to teach me, you know what I mean? But it just made who we are in our relationship what it is now. And I wouldn't trade that dude for the world. It's going to be a sad day when that dude kicks the dirt. But, so definitely my old man. I would probably say, as far as like country music goes and like just the influence that music has had on my life, you know, I would say Randy Travis or Keith Whitley. I don't know. It's hard to pick. I don't know. I grew up listening to both of them with my grandpa, and that's like the fondest memories I have, you know, of country music growing up. But then, you know, I got into so many different kinds of music. So if it was one, if it had to be one artist, it would probably be Randy Travis, just because of the personal struggles that he went through and the way he's overcome stuff now, you know, to get back into what he's doing and still trying to live his life to the fullest. You know, I think that probably he'd be up there. And then two others, man. I don't know. Probably my grandpa. I love that dude. I mean, I never got enough time with him. He died when I was young, I can tell you that. But you want to talk about a hardworking dude. He worked for General Motors for 30 years and never said a word about it. I mean, he was always there for me and my brother growing up and my mom when she was growing up and stuff like that. And then fourth, probably be my mom.
Fuck yeah, man. That's a solid fucking lineup, man.
Yeah.
Good for you. You show me four people that a person looks up to, and you got to narrow it down to four people, man. You get that. You can tell so much about that person, right? Like, yeah. Why do you look up to these people, and who do you look up to? And you know, it tells you a story, right? About, you know, who a person really is. It's like their shoes, right? You can tell a lot about a person by their shoes.
Yep. And I think family for me is just, I don't know, it's there, man. Like, I've seen the struggles that my old man's went through, and like that he's definitely my number one. Without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that dude is number one on the mount and will never, ever be replaced in my eyes. He's the hardest working dude I know, and he's there for anybody and everybody who needs it all the time, and he never even asks twice.
Fuck yeah. So. Fucking God's people, man.
That's right. That's right, dude.
Fucking love it. Oh man, thanks for coming on, brother, and thank you for that incredible. We didn't repeat a lot of the same things from last time, right? Like that's what I mean. We can have another hour and a bit conversation of like not completely different shit, but a lot of different shit, right? Like, and that's huge, man. You know, not repeating the same shit over and over again, and that's amazing. I love that.
Yep, for sure, man. I appreciate it big time. Like I said, thanks for having me back on. And anytime you want me back here, man, just holler.
Absolutely, man. I love texting you. I text you all the time, man. Every time the Chiefs win or win the Super Bowl, I'm like, fucking Chiefs, buddy. Apparently, it costs me $1 every time I send a text message to the U.S. So that's cool. Holy and I don't shit. Mind spending that dollar. Don't worry, I won't reimburse you. Or I won't bill you.
Send me a bill. Yeah,
I'll say yeah. all right, well, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, man. Hey, Brian, good luck on your mini tour there, brother. And fucking right, dude, if you ever come to Canada on a tour, man. You let me know.
I'll be there someday.
Because, like, I want to fucking be there. I want to be there in the front row. I want you to sign my chest. Right? Like, yeah.
Hell yeah.
A bottle of Steady Freddy. A bottle of Steady Freddy on that sign. You know, like, hey, no matter how much of that shit I sprayed on today, I still came quick. You know?
Yeah, dude. I'm here for it, man. I'll be there someday. I promise you.
Fuck yeah, brother. Hey, Brian, you stay frosty, man.
Hey, you too, buddy.